So what does the future of the MCU look like in the next 10 years with or without Spider-Man? True Believers, welcome to a new episode where I have my friend Kyle Robinson with me. Say what's up, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Now, this might be new to you guys. Kyle, this is the first time on Heart of Marvel podcast, and I know Kyle from another friend, and we're like social media friends and stuff like that, but this guy is a super Marvel nerd. He belongs on this show today. I'm super excited to have you, bro.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, I know that we've been like nerding out about everything Marvel ever since. I want to say last year.
Yeah.
And everything. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I was just like, especially when the first Avengers trailer dropped.
Oh yeah.
Like we were all trying to find out that title. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. It's funny story about Kyle, because I know him. I got introduced to him through another nerd friend of mine. And it's so funny. There was this one time, bro, I don't know if you remember this. He does this giveaway contest like every time a Blu-ray DVD drops. And there was this one time, it was around Thor Ragnarok. And you said, guess my top three Marvel movies. Now I'm thinking to myself, guys, if this is a true Marvel fan, I don't like to say that, guys, but I was like, this is the next, this has to be, first it has to be Winter Soldier. And then the other two, I forgot what it was around that time, but totally nailed it. Got the free copy of Thor Ragnarok. Booyah.
I loved it. And still to this day, even as magnificent as Endgame and Infinity War is, Winter Soldier is still my top one.
I'm sorry, man.
I still can't believe it. I'm like, wow.
And a lot of people ask, before we kind of get into the topic at hand, a lot of people ask, man, why is Winter Soldier still above all these mega box offices? And one of the things that I've said plenty of times on this podcast is that Winter Soldier had that climax that we are still being affected by in the MCU. That's why it had that magnitude. It literally had that shift where I did not even see that coming. You know,
especially with the promotion and everything as well. They hit it well. Like they went like, hey, hey, Captain America, by the way, Hydra comes back. I mean, it's like you knew that was a part of like his origin story from the first Avenger. But it's like, I think one thing that really made that film was that it was very grounded.
Yeah.
Like highly grounded to the point where it's like you can see it from a human level.
Yes.
Like, especially compared to like something like Civil War, which was also insanely entertaining and everything, you have that were just human. They had to rely on their skill and their combat, and you start to see like a lot of those emotional journeys and everything, and it kind of got you to, and in a way Marvel has this weird perfect way of kind of like keeping things relevant to the time.
Yes.
And how they like progress through that, and how, you know, the different morals and everything.
Absolutely.
And let's not even get started on the action sequences.
I mean, that, because I think the opening, the first 10 minutes of Winter Soldier, and then again, we see that residue all the way into Endgames, where I know in the theater when Falcon says, on your left, I stood up and said, on your freaking left, man. And because a lot of people don't see and connect those dots. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about today, is because there's still open doors, there's still dots that still need to be connected that other directors and Kevin Feige has literally placed in this universe that still has not been answered, you know, and kind of teased about. So without further ado, man, I really want to get into it, because I know this is a really deep discussion that's kind of been going back and forth all over the news, that, you know, the future of MCU, is it going to be one with Spider-Man in it or one without, You know, give me a little bit of 2 cents. What do you feel about that?
Well, oh boy. This has been a long, daunting...
Because you're a Spider-Man fan. Because I know you are a Spider-Man fan.
I think that was, like, Spider-Man was my first franchise that I ever got into. So like with the Tobey Maguire one, especially with like the, what was it, I think it's Spider-Man 2, that the one with Doc Ock, that was all my
that was a great one.
That was like my Winter Soldier for but like it's like now you were able to finally see him collaborate with the family of the Marvel, you know, the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And it's just like, for now to see that, and it's like, Lord knows, I love Sony, especially with what they did with Into the Spider-Verse, which had
Being
as great as it was.
Yes.
Oh goodness. But that was amazing. And then the soundtrack, let's not even start.
It was just a large music video.
It was. And I was just like, and so like, I love Sony and obviously love Disney. But I think I speak for a lot of people when I say when we first got the news about it, we were just like, oh, here we go with Sony again, you know, and everything. But like now I'm just kind of like, it's not a want. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed because it's just like, I wish that the two companies could work together.
Yeah.
You know, for the fans, yeah, you know? Because, I mean, in the end of it all, we're kind of the ones that kind of, you know, get the bad end of the stick, and I'm just kind of like...
It's like we're in the back of the seat while we see the parents fighting. You know, we it's like, exactly. Oh man. But again, even though like today, I was telling you before we came on, I had an episode with Marvelholics on Comic-Con Radio, where we talked about this. And there, even though it looks like it's beneficial, it's not really official yet because they're still going back and forth. There'll be times where Sony doesn't want to hear anything, and there's sometimes where Marvel doesn't want to hear anything, and then Sony comes back. So, would there or could there be a future where in the MCU we have not only Spider-Man, because this is the thing, this is the deal that is being rumored right now, that Marvel is saying, hey, let's work out another deal in a way where majority, yes, Sony gets the money, because again, all throughout these six films that in our the last agreement, all Sony had to do was show up. That's pretty much it. And with this one, with this new deal, they're trying to get Venom as well. And oh, do I want to see Marvel Studios play with some Venom.
I never heard about the Venom one. That one's new to me. It'll be very interesting because I know that they have Andy Serkis directing this next one.
Yes.
So
very interesting.
Honestly, I really do hope they come to a good decision because I know it was a 70-30 deal everything. I feel like this is a relationship that's sure to work out because, look, I mean, with the action figures and everything like that, they're selling big time on that.
Yeah.
And then Marvel would actually help Sony reach their new number one hit for Sony, like, because I mean, no Spider-Man, it's hard to believe it, but no Spider-Man movie since before Far From Home has ever reached $1 billion.
Yeah,
and that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's something to be said about that. We can work this out. Let's keep the family together.
Let's keep the family together. And again, at the end of the day, they're going to want to do what they want to do. Either way, I was saying even this morning, even if Sony says, you know what? No, it's official. Sign the paper. The ink's dry. Spider-Man is ours. Marvel Studios will not... I'm not saying they're going to retcon, but they're going to do it very, very strategic. They're going to do it very clean.
Yeah.
But eventually we're going to see a Spider-Man and Venom film, most likely under that Sony title. Will it be good? It's gonna do us a little bit. The fans are gonna enjoy it, but at the end of the day, when we dissect it, we're gonna walk out of that probably like Dark Phoenix or something like that. We're like, man, this was bad. You know, I'm just saying that. But the future, man, the future of the MCU, man, looks very good, man. And it's very different. It's very different. We were talking about it earlier. Like, what are we gonna talk about today on this episode? And a lot of the fans here at Heart of Marvel podcast, we talk about the MCU a lot. The third season of Heart of Marvel podcast, we're doing a little bit different things. We're talking more about comics and then also MCU stuff. But to get in the thick of it like we used to, man, I've been preaching Disney Plus for the past 2 years. And even though I knew this was coming, at D23, when they launched everything, not only at Comic-Con San Diego, but also at D23, when they launched every single title that was going to come out, not in 4 years, 2 years, half in the cinematic and half in the Disney Plus streaming service, it blows my mind. It blew my mind back then, but it still blows my mind now, because you talk about the same budget, same actors, same quality. That means if you don't watch this TV show, or if you don't watch the Falcon and the Winter Soldier going into certain types of movies, you're going to totally miss what's happening.
Mm-hmm. No, that's kind of a good deal now. It's just like, well, the way they did kind of did that was pretty just strategic, because now it's just like, you want to see that movie?
Yeah.
By the way, do you know that we have Disney Plus, you know, kind of deal? It's like, if you don't have that, you know, you'll understand the movie, but not in the context of the full cinematic universe. And what I love about the different title, well, not even just the different title, what I love about this thing is that they're very much split, like you said, some in a cinema and then some at home. So, like, I can literally see, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier for about 5+, you know, hours, you know, seeing that whole interaction as if it's like a Netflix series. And everything, by the way, Netflix, like you said, it's cool. They got some competition.
They got competition, like,
So I'm looking forward to that. I will say this. I am quite hesitant with what they're doing with Tom Hiddleston's Loki.
Really?
And the reason why I say that is because before they had been, you know, been like, he's dead, not really dead, he's dead. And it's like, they made it official, but then, you know, they with Endgame, they kind of, they threw a little leeway, and I was like, okay, I can work with that. But it's just like, where did you go with that? Because it's like, I think that's part of my hesitation. It's just like, okay, so you're bringing back these people into our dimension, our timeline that we know are gone. But, and it's like, you know, Thor has grieved that. How is he going to, if you know, it goes on to like Thor, Love and Thunder, how is that relationship supposed to work? And I mean, we already know it's going to be happening somewhere with Guardians of the Galaxy 3, wherever that might be.
Yeah.
But you know, that's one way, it's like, it can be an interesting territory to explore, but I am slightly hesitant, just like, the timeline stuff is really tricky.
Yeah, because we're getting into, if people out there that are just MCU fans that are not Marvel Universe fans, Marvel Universe being the comics, you're going, because when I look at it, I'm like, okay, here we go. Because when you're looking at the Marvel Universe and some of the events that happen over the span of 10 years, even 20, 30 years in Marvel Comics, it does get extremely complex. And with this Loki series that a lot of people don't know is coming out, And where that starts, because that one scene when they're trying to get the cosmic cube here, and I still call it the cosmic cube, sorry, but the tesseract, Loki grabs it and disappears. That's right there. That's when another universe or another reality is created, and that's where the Loki series will be starting. Now, how that's going to be portrayed, how that's going to happen, where he's jumping through different timelines. That's still something that I would like to see. But again, every single year, every single phase, I get into a place where there's maybe one or two titles where I go, how is Marvel going to do this? And every single time, I remember the first time when they introduced Doctor Strange, I go, how are they going to do this? A lot of people don't know Doctor Strange. Are they going to like it? It's going to be a supernatural movie. And they do it. They just hit a home run. So before we kind of get into the thick of it, if you guys do not know, for some weird reason that you guys don't know the Phase 4 of Marvel, we're going to go through it right now. So you have November 6, 2020, you have the Eternals, which the Eternals is the title that worries the heck out of me. Because like Captain Marvel, those were like series that were not really popular. Even though that writers went and every like 5, 6, 8, 10 years, whatever the case might be, try to take a run of it, it still wasn't really that great. A lot of fans, I'm not saying it was bad, but a lot of people were like, we don't know about this. But it's like a catch-22 with the Eternals, because how they're making it with, I'll say it like this, politically correct. The modern time situations, they're really pushing those agendas in these movies. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand. But the one thing that excites me is that we finally are going to get Celestials. I'm super real excited.
I'm super excited. The only thing I will say about that, I will say that it kind of, the only reason why I'm not so worried about it is because, number one, it has a stacked cast. Especially Angelina Jolie and Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. But the only thing that gives me a little bit more faith is that I remember back in 2014 when Guardians of the Galaxy was, coming out, and everyone was just like, seriously, a raccoon with a machine gun on a, talking tree who only speak three exclusive words, meaning I am Groot. Yeah. Like at first, it was just kind of like, but now it's just like everyone knows. So I have my fingers crossed. I'm a little hesitant, but I'm still like, okay, Marvel got this.
Marvel got it, yeah. So, and the next title, Fall of 2020, there's no really hard date, but this is something that I'm probably most excited for, is the Falcon and Winter Soldier, because I don't know about you guys, there is a little tiny series called Civil War in the comics that came out, and after Captain America died, in the comics, Falcon took the shield, and that whole storyline was beast mode. I personally love it, and that whole situation where you have a black Captain America, and in the comics they made it so modern and like a part of society where half of America was complaining there was a black Captain America that didn't represent him, and just that whole realness behind it, I cannot wait. And the fact that he's going to be teaming up with Winter Soldier, with another one of my favorite characters, I'm super excited. And it's going to be filmed here in Atlanta. You and I from Atlanta. Yep.
Well, I'm going to try to see if that's a casting call. But I can't. I'm your guy.
I'm a stand-in for Anthony Mackie.
Oh, man. That would be, if they even tried, I'd just be like, great. That's the one thing I put on my resume. Stand-in.
That's hilarious. Anthony Mackie. That's hilarious. But, man, I'm super excited about that one. That's probably the one that I'm pumped up for. And, again, that's going to be transitioning us. Supposedly, this is what Marvel said, these series are key because they're going to be transitioning us to the next titles that are coming, which in February 21st, you have 2021, I'm sorry, you got Shang-Chi. Now, again, here's another character that not a lot of people are familiar with Shang-Chi.
I agree.
But the fact that they're bringing back the Ten Rings, they're bringing back the villain that I knew was not dead, I'm super excited for.
I think a lot of people were really hoping for the Mandarin to get like his proper, you know, representation through it, because I remember, I still remember back in 2013 when Iron Man 3 came out, and that twist happened. Mm-hmm. So it was the divide. It was like, you either loved it because you're a Shane Black fan, and, you know, it was just like, oh, wow, this is different. They're doing things differently. Or you were just on that other side where it's just like, well, this movie sucks just because of it. And I'm just like, alrighty then. And yeah, me, I was so like in between. It took me a while to even figure it out. But then they came out with that short, All Hail the King. I think that was the title of it.
I think so.
Yeah, and then that's when it just like, and that's when it was just like, oh, okay, we kind of out there somewhere. So that's good.
Yeah. And it just bringing it back full circle, there's one of the theories that I put out a long, long time ago about bringing the Mandarin back, and being that the Mandarin is so old, bringing Tony Stark back in Iron Man 4. I would love to see an Iron Man 4, but again, but pausing this here and saying, but the latest MCU title to come here is the Black Widow movie that's May 1st of 2020, which we already know Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., will be reprising his role as Tony Stark. A lot of people are losing their stuff, and I'm like, guys, it's not that big of a deal because it's Black Widow. Like, I'm sorry, Robert Downey is done. He's done. He's probably just, you know... Maybe he's probably even just repraising his role a couple million dollars.
Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, I don't think it's going to be a huge major role. I mean, especially if it is a prequel. Because you got to remember, in Iron Man 2, when they finally meet up, it's just like, it doesn't seem like they had any history. And I'm pretty sure they would have mentioned that.
Yeah.
So it's like, he probably had to do with Stark Industry, when he's still working with the weapons manufacturing, and this was before he got captured, I would say. But I also heard a theory from someone saying that it could be something that happened between Civil War and Infinity War.
No, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Okay, so it is.
Yeah,
okay.
It is. But there's being that this movie's going to go backwards, just to highlight, there's something going to be very, very significant that's going to really open up. Because this is the very first movie, bro, of Phase 4. And I'm like, dude, there's something has to... Of course, we get Taskmaster. Again, that's one of my, again, my favorite grounded villains. And so there has to be something very, very significant that Tony Stark maybe creates some snowball effect or something that is very significant in the next phase of Marvel. So that has to be very significant. And again, we got to think, Marvel is just not going to put out a movie just to put out a movie. This is there has a purpose on this. But moving forward into the other titles, there is WandaVision, which again, I'm saying a lot of favorites today. Wanda, Scarlet Witch, is my favorite female character, just because she's one of the most powerful mutants, I want to say that, in the Marvel universe. So to see WandaVision, and that's actually going to transition into the Doctor Strange, was probably the coolest title in the Phase 4, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Thank you, Lord. Bring in the multiverse. I'm super excited. So rumor has it that the WandaVision is going to be pretty much all in the mind of her in Vision, and kind of pulling from House of M comic event. That is going to be very interesting, because House of M was a very interesting series. If you guys are out there not familiar with that series, that's when basically freaking Scarlet Witch got rid of 90% of the mutant population just because she was pissed. So I'm really excited about that.
I honestly think with like WandaVision, and it's the way that they pitched it, and I don't know if you saw the promotional art when it kind of had like that
Dick that Van old Dyke classic
and it's just like, whoa, okay. So that, and I know a lot of people who are just like, really kind of deal. I say don't Don't deny Marvel.
And it's so creepy.
Don't do it.
It's so creepy too. So, and I'm just hoping that they're kind of gonna get in that chaos magic. Like, I really want them to like dabble into that, especially going into the Multiverse of Madness, which Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange will be together in that. So, I'm super excited for.
Next,
we have the What If series, which Marvel was pretty much famous for, that What If series, and it's very interesting. Today, I actually heard Donnie Cates, which is a Marvel writer, probably one of the best writers right now in Marvel Comics, and saying, What If is not really canon. And I'm thinking about that. That's actually absolutely true. It's just a what if. It's not really canon. So that's why I'm just going to breeze through that. So the next one, which I'm really excited for, is Hawkeye, to really see him pass the bow. In that way, I'm super excited for him, and he deserves his own series. So it's gonna be really cool to see that grounded series. And one that's, I know it's already gonna blow all of our face off, because Taika Waititi is coming back to direct Thor: Love and Thunder. That we're gonna see Jane Foster in the Thor. I was blown away when I heard that, bro. Yay. I was so blown away by that.
Honestly, just for the fact that they were definitely going to continue on with the Thor arc and everything, because I feel like, especially in the first two phases, like his
moves
were definitely mediocre at best. But I'm still one of the few that actually really appreciated that first Thor movie. Mm-hmm. And then I know, like, a lot of people, Thor, the Dark World, was kind of like,
You messed up on Malekith, man. You really messed up on him, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the arc. I mean, ever since, starting from Thor Ragnarok all the way up to Endgame, how they really humanized and really grounded that character, mm-hmm. and was able to really just mesh the two together, and the performances we were able to get out of Chris Hemsworth just the improv and just the chemistry that you can get with all of it—that was what really, really showed me. And I was just like, he's my second favorite Avenger right now.
Yeah, and it's still Ragnarok is still my top five, because again, seeing the magnitude of what they did, and it's still, they have that type of residue that's still being affected and still affecting it. Because I mean, his arc is one of the best, and Taika Waititi, what he did was literally save that franchise, because he took that character and literally destroyed it from what we knew. And with that, inspired so many different artists and writers right now. And just to even talk about comics right now, Jason Aaron's run, guys, I say it all the time, the past couple episodes, Jason Aaron's run on Thor for the past 7 years, to even really inspire Taika Waititi to take that title, with Natalie Portman coming back into the franchise when she left with some sour notes. That's some power, bro. That's some power.
Yes. Oh, boy. But yeah, you know, and it's actually funny that you say that, because you said it was the writer with Jason Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me, I have one of the comics. It's Thor, the Goddess of Thunder, because I was like, okay, once I heard like Love and Thunder, I was just like, okay, cool. And I was just wandering through a bookstore, and I just happened to see it, and it was just literally up for like $5.97, and I was just like, grab. Like, oh my goodness, just grabbed it all. And I mean, as of lately, you would be surprised how much the comics are just amazing. Like I was talking to you earlier this week, I did not know this was a thing. Just to go off a little bit, you know, they have Old Man Logan and everything. And of course you have the Hawkeye that was in there. But I did not know is that they did a prequel for that, something called Old Man Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And I saw it, number one, the art is magnificent.
Yes, it is.
The arc, oh goodness. It, I'm like, oh, people really do underestimate Hawkeye.
Like, a lot of people.
That's the reason why I'm looking forward to.
It's just a lot of people when they're just, and it's fine, like, if they're just Marvel cinematic fans, but man, like, they're like comics, a lot of people just overlook them and still look at it like like children's books for some reason. But again, even children books, this is the funny thing about any type of like children movies, children shows, children books, you know who makes them? Grown-ups. You know what I'm saying? So, but like these arcs, and just like you were saying in the Mighty Thor, the Goddess of Thunder, like all the, like, what kind of game is that? What kind of like authority and creativity that you have for Jason Aaron to have 7 years of consistent amazing events where the latest Thor series that's out, the King Thor series, the War of the Realms, which is probably one of the best events in the past, like, I would say 5 to 8 years. And this is in our time. And I said this earlier in an episode. If you are wanting to dive in, because you're coming into the phases of Marvel Cinematic Universe and you're getting exposed to these characters that are literally going to force you to go back into the comics and read, guys, this is some of the best time to get into comics right now, guys, because you have the Jason Aarons, the Donny Cates, the Jonathan Hickman that is just refabricating the X-Men and mutantdom. You have all these people that are just blowing my mind away, bro. Kyle, they're blowing my mind away. Donny Cate, I keep on telling Kyle to get into Donny Cate, man. He is just destroying me right now with this Venomverse, with Absolute Carnage, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Dude, Silver Surfer Black is blowing my freaking mind.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. You got to get these titles, man.
Okay, then I'm definitely gonna check this out, because lately, Ethan Sachs with the Hawkeye one, I swear, like, I was, oh goodness, when I say I was blown away by the comic, I was just like, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, I love how grounded it is. I love how grounded it is, and again, the latest one, Old Man series, is the Old Man Star-Lord Quill. So that's a new one that's out. Yeah. So that's yeah, man. Because you'll be, and I love how you're on here like this, because again, there's might be a lot of people that are just kind of coming back into the comic game. And again, guys, I stopped reading comics for a minute, bro. I grew up reading comics, but then I stopped for like 10 years. And just like sports, like, once you stop, you come back, you're like, who the hell are these guys? But man, I'm telling you guys, you got to come in now, because the fact that Jonathan Hickman is literally refabricating what you're doing with X-Men, it's literally, whatever you know about X-Men, forget it, because he's literally rewriting everything. And how he's doing it, this is how comics work, this is how movies work, guys. They're literally going to rebuild the character, just like what, like, the Russo brothers did with Thor. They placed him with the Guardians of the Galaxy and leaves them there so Guardians 3 can kind of mess around with it. That's kind of like how comics go. So what Jonathan Hickman's doing with X-Men is literally redoing, no, like, bump the school. Don't worry about, like, Xavier has a school anymore. No, he's not doing any of that. What he's doing right now, like, every single comic that comes out every Wednesday that he's doing is blowing my mind, because it's like, it's literally, there's no reference anymore. They're like, oh yeah, you know, School of Xavier, you know, Gifted, you have the Magneto bad person. No, bro, there's really nothing. It's just one, I can't even, it has to be another episode. It has to be another episode, right, man, to talk about it.
Oh, okay. That one I'm going to check out myself, because I'm like, I know, like, with the X-Men, everyone's very familiar with, you know, boarding school, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, I think over time, ever since, you know, the original trilogy had kind of died out, and then, you know, with the latest one that kind of came to a close at some point, I think around, like, maybe Days of Future Past and everything, it kind of got stale. Yeah. And everything. So I think it needed that. It needed that, and hopefully Marvel can work something around it, especially now. I think I've heard reports that, you know, they're going to try to change up the origin as far as with Magneto, because, I mean, at this point, especially with the modern time, you can't really have, like, an older Magneto. But, you know, and I think they were trying to do it to a point of, like slavery and everything. And I'm just like, Whoa. Yeah. I'm being like, okay, Marvel, you're blowing my mind already.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's these things that you just have to pay attention to the writers and the artists. And if you know what they're attached to, you know it's going to be good. So I've said this episode in the last season that what kind of power do you have? Jonathan Hickman, if you don't know who Jonathan Hickman is, guys, is that he's probably one of the most influential writers in our lifetime, okay? We had the Stan Lees, we had the Steve Ditkos in the back, in the beginning, the grandfathers out of all. That would be our Steve Ditko. That would be our Stan Lee right now, because Jonathan Hickman, every single thing he did was he saved the franchise. He comes in, he just saves franchise, like Taika Waititi. So what Jonathan Hickman's doing with this series is, guys, it's something that it's very poetic. It's poetically beautiful, insane, and amazing all at the same time, you know. So guys, just do me a favor, go literally in your comic book store or wherever you get comics, go and say, look, what's the latest thing on Jonathan Hickman? What's the latest thing of Donny Cates? I guarantee you all the comic people will look at you and go like, dude, this is what you need. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you, because, dude, like, honestly, right now, this is what mind-blowing. I'm going to nerd out for real quick, and then I'm going to come back into in the topic. But Donny Cates, now Jonathan Hickman has this power where he literally had an idea to revamp the X-Men, because again, even it doesn't matter where you're coming from, I don't care, this is the truth, okay? A strong X-Men run has not been read for the past maybe 15-20 years, you know what I'm saying? Because you had Jim Starlin had a great run with the X-Men, probably the longest one, I think it was like 12-15 years that he did consistent work for the X-Men, and it was amazing, the Uncanny X-Men. Ever since there, It was like a hit and miss. It wasn't really something that was mind-blowing, right? So Jonathan Hickman pitches Marvel and says, I got an idea to revamp the X-Men and literally build the next 10 years of X-Men. So what I want you to do is I want you to shut down every single X-Men series that you have so I can come in and rewrite it, everything. And Marvel goes, go ahead. That's some power, bro.
Yeah.
That's some power. Right. But even though that Jonathan Hickman is releasing this gold, Donny Cates with his freaking Absolute Carnage series, dude, I know this is going to happen. Kyle, you're going to get off this phone call. You're going to pass a couple days. You're going to read these titles and you're like, God dang it, Justin, this is good. I was like, yes, it is, bro. Yes, it is, because it's number one. It's number one. It's number one right now. That Absolute Carnage series is actually number one over Jonathan Hickman's X-Men. Well, it's not really. He hasn't released X-Men yet, but Dawn of X come out in October. And right now it's the House and Power of X right now. House of X and Powers of 10, sorry. And right now, in its very first issue of House of X, which was a month ago, it had to do like 2 or 3 reprints. That hasn't happened in comics in a very long time. You know what I'm saying? So this is I'm sorry, I had a nerd out real quick. So let's get back. Let's get back, because we're missing some titles.
This is all what it's all about, especially when it comes to Marvel. I mean, it's just like that's what I love about the movies in itself. It's like, once you, like, same for anything, like you said, we both like the Winter Soldier, and then next, you know, you end up finding the Winter Soldier comic book, or like the volume of it, and you're just like, huh, I want to see how much they pulled from
exactly.
It, how much of it was like inspired by it, and then what did they do differently? And then once you see that, the difference between, hey, here's what inspired that and here's what we actually do, you have a lot more appreciation for the actual screenwriter and the actual artist, and like how they're able to pay tribute to the people who invested in all of that and put it on a screen for something new and modern to the audience today.
Yeah, man. So, and just to kind of like close this up, because we missed some titles. So let's take the next couple minutes to kind of finish these titles, because we missed some big ones. So we have, again, half of this Phase 4 is going to be released on Disney Plus. One of the things I'm super excited for, because for the past couple years, some great writers in the comics have got me back into loving the Hulk. So we got She-Hulk coming out in the Disney Plus. We have Ms. Marvel, which, again, we already kind of saw that coming. We have Moon Knight come on, bring the Marvel, bring the Marvel Batman into the universe. Come on, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
And one that kind of blew my mind that I didn't see this was coming. I kind of knew it was coming, but just not this soon. We talked about it in the first season of this podcast, and was Blade. And what great casting. What great. That's one of my favorite. Ali is one of my favorite actors right now.
Yeah.
Man, he blew away Cottonmouth and Luke Cage.
Oh, yeah. I did not think. Like you said, I thought, if anything, I thought it was going to have like a Marvel Knight kind of different thing.
Yeah.
But the fact that they are bringing it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's one thing. And then for the longest time, I think people were thinking that it was going to be Michael B. Jordan, because at the time, you know, he was really popular with the Creed stuff, yada, yada, yada. But then I was just like, well, he's Killmonger now, so it doesn't really make any sense. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man.
Perfect.
Ali, especially with the fact that he just won.
Didn't he win the Oscar, like, Green Book.
Yeah, like, it was like not two years in a row, but, you know, Best Supporting Actor for Moonlight, and then Best Supporting Actor and like you said, Green Book.
Yeah.
Although when I look back at it, I'm like, I kind of feel like he was kind of the main character, but it was like, whatever. I can't wait to see this guy in action. Oh goodness, he's like. It's the world class, top tier. How Marvel keeps on getting this stat cast is just unbelievable. But it just goes to show Marvel will execute anything you throw at them.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
And this was something that my man, a good friend of mine on this podcast, Josiah from Comic Syndicate, we talked about this in a couple episodes where. Is this MCU train, this superhero train, going to slow down anytime soon? And I'm like, yes, there's always an end to something, but how Marvel is reinventing the wheel every single time, I don't even think it's going to be, it has to be like 30 years down the line that people, because again, if this is going to die down, I mean, that's why comics are still relevant, because we still have young people out there that are wanting to watch these superhero movies, and I don't think this is going anywhere. This is not going anywhere, guys. And just to see that we're growing up into seeing these characters, and this is like the best time to be a nerd right now, because back in the day when I was a kid, seeing this slate, seeing me read a comic book in school, oh, you're a nerd, you're a geek, all that kind of stuff. Now it's like,
and not a cool kid like
the cool kids, you know, like, wow, like the cool kids are coming up to us. You're like, oh my God, so much content, you know everything. But but so with all those titles that we went over, there's so much speculations of where it could be headed. Now, again, we know that the Black Panther 2 is coming. We know that the Guardians 3 is coming. We know the Captain Marvel 2 is coming, all these titles. But one of the things that I believe is around the corner is the next big Avengers film. Now, even though that's like 5, 6, maybe 7 years, they don't really have to rush into it, because if you look at this phase, you know that the new Avengers, as well as the young Avengers, are being formed. It's a given.
It's a given. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can definitely see that. I do question, though, because, like, I also know a lot of people who, you know, we've had so many people who are like, oh, I hope they bring Iron Man back, and they're like, no. The reason why he's so prevalent is because this is his legacy.
Yeah.
Like, building, this is his suit of armor around the world.
Yeah.
Right here. And I think those last few minutes of Endgame established that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that does pick up my attention as far as the future for these movies and everything is the fact that a lot of people, from what it seemed like in Far From Home, they try to make it like, oh, well, Cappy, you know, whatever. I'm like, not necessarily, you know, and everything. And so a lot of people are coming up with different things saying that you could bring him back. And I'm just like, This, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I love Chris Evans, a Captain. Do not get me wrong, but I don't think we should backtrack. You know, mm-hmm. I think we should keep on progressing forward. Now, maybe if it's like a one-off, you know, kind of like as if it pertains to the narrative of it, especially with the whole madness of the multiverse.
Yeah, multiverse.
That I can kind of understand. Kind of like the Secret Empire run.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Captain America ends up being kind
of
like the
favorites.
Leader of, the leader of Hydra and everything. Like, that would be kind of crazy. Kind of like for comparison-wise, like the flashpoint of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. And that would be... I wouldn't know how to process that.
But something I would like to see, hopefully we're going to get this, because again, Thunderbolt Ross is not really, he's kind of been kind of glazed through this past 10 years. You know, a lot of people forgot about Thunderbolt Ross right when he appeared Civil War. I go, holy crap, they brought him back. That's cool. You know, and then he's in Infinity War, and then he's in Endgame. And I was like, man, could we be getting the Red Hulk, or could we even be getting the Thunderbolts? Like, so that's something that is going to be teased with. But I really, really hope. I really, really hope. But I don't see this because, again, I thought we were going to get some type of introduction to Osborn and Oscorp at the end of Far From Home. We didn't. I was kind of shocked.
Yeah.
If my theory had it was, if it was going to be Osborn somewhere in this film, we're going to get the Dark Avengers, which I really wanted to see that. I really want to see that. I think they should go with that because we already have this Avenger run that is like so... it's already established. Man, throw a curveball to us, man. Throw something that we're not even ready for. And I think going with Dark Reign, with Oscorp, is just something that I know the fans would love to see that. I know.
I think that would work out. That would be a completely different game changer because we've seen the team up for the hero.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we haven't seen the big Super Bowl team up of, like, the big super villains and everything, especially, like, because one of the things, again, that I always circle back to is, like, Marvel does a great job at character development with their characters.
Hands down.
And I will say, you know, in the beginning... A lot of the character development for the villains were just kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it just seemed like Loki was kind of the higher part. But, it's, I mean, really in Phase 3, they amped it up.
They turned it to
like,
20.
Oh, I was just like, okay, so what Marvel, I see you, Marvel. Like, it's like, so what you were trying to do was make us know more about the protagonist. That way, when we're all attached to them, it's just like Phase 3 when it ramped up. It's like, you're like, I can kind of see where this villain coming from, but you're still bad, but I still kind of get where you're coming from. And the adversities and the challenges that all of our heroes face and how they, you know, conquer that was really great to see. So I have faith in them at this point. I'm just like, I will never doubt them when it comes to these characters ever again.
Right. So I'm just, at the end of the day, I want my Dark Avengers. I want my Dark Reign. And also, once something I've been waiting for ever since, I thought we were really going to get them. We saw rumors, we saw director's commentary that they actually had some thoughts of bringing Adam Warlock. I've been wanting to see Adam Warlock for the past 3-4 years now. So I know we're going to be seeing him very, very soon, as well as Namor. I know Namor has to be in Black Panther 2. And put Storm in there. Yeah. Put Storm in there to get some transitions of the mutant. But But that's the next episode. One of our future episodes, one of the next episodes we're going to be talking about, guys, is how the mutants or going to be transitioned into the MCU. Pretty much an updated version of the episode, because I know we talked about a long time ago, but a lot of things have changed. So yeah, but that's pretty much it. Kyle, man, I really appreciate you coming out, just nerding out with us in this episode. And hopefully we can bring you back on so we can nerd out more.
Oh yeah, like I said, I'm always happy to be able to be a part of the chatter and be a part of the Marvelites and everything. Trust me, there's greater things to come. Even with the whole Spider-Man situation, we're gonna be okay. We're in good hands, yeah. And I think we're in the golden age of just comic book phenomenon.
No, man. It's a great time. It's some of the best times, and it's still growing. It's still getting bigger. So can't wait, guys. Just stay tuned to all the news at Heart of Marvel Podcast. Guys, if you are new to listening to Heart of Marvel Podcast, you can always subscribe it to anywhere podcasts can be found. And hit us up if you guys have any feedback, any questions, any things, any topics that you want us to hit on, or any things that you missed, anything you want to know deeper on. We can build an episode around that and shout you out. You can find me on Twitter at Hard, that's H-A-R-D-N, at the letter N, Marvel, at Twitter, as well as Heart of Marvel Podcast on Facebook. Come find us, hit us up, and show us some love. So that's pretty much it, guys. Thank you. Taking time out of your busy days to hear us nerds rant about this stuff. As always, guys, I'm Justin. This is Kyle. Stay awesome and stay blessed, guys. Peace.
See ya.